Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Yeah. Hey. 6:09 in the morning and a little bit of rain downtown. I guess it's over.
Over.
Nothing big. Nothing to worry about.
And they just reopened the lanes on the Kennedy.
And if you get into any sort of slowdown traffic-wise, you know my opinion, Mary. Floor it and get out of there as fast as you can.
Yep, well, they got that jackknife tractor trailer out of there pretty quickly.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Get it done, people. Nice to see everybody. And Sandberg back from her alleged wedding. We'll get into that a little bit later on.
I don't think it's alleged.
I think it actually happened.
I think it happened, yeah.
Make the text question today if you have marriage advice for Sandberg.
Oh, that's a good question, yeah.
Jacobson came up with that, just so you know. Sandberg can be mad at him. Start off a new week. Donald Trump did his speech on how to save the world yesterday. Not a lot going on there. But picking on Trump for it isn't really fair either. You can't say too much until you actually get the gig, God forbid. Because he doesn't have the gig yet, there's only so much he could say. In the meantime, as far as we know, no new Hillary Clinton indictment talk yesterday, or there's some new emails that have come out. Nothing the FBI hasn't seen, but certain stuff that hasn't been released to the public yet, which may be out soon. And I continue to think that we got to get this Julian Assange guy, throw him in jail.
Well, yeah.
Instead of holding him up as some source that we must interview.
No, I agree.
The Olympics in Rio, Simone Biles, bronze last night. You know, I've worked with her on the beam over and over again. I said, Simone, listen to me, Simone. You cannot touch the beam when you lose your balance, you can't touch the beam. Mm-hmm. So she grabbed the beam last night. And as we all know, that's a full point deduction. Mm-hmm. So she ends up with a bronze medal. Much to the chagrin, and I don't know if you know, chagrin finished fifth.
Yeah.
Much to the chagrin of the Rio crowd, because I believe it was the Brazilian that was right there with her in that third spot and finished, what, just a tenth of a point behind or something?
Something like that. Have you talked to Simone since?
I called her. Yeah. And she said, who's this, and hung up. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I want to give her some space.
Right.
Yeah. She blocks you now.
Yeah, that could
now
be.
You're out of luck.
That could be. But, you know, that's just acting out until she comes to terms with this. She'll have a chance at another medal tonight. What's tonight? Tonight, the floor exercise?
It's floor exercise. Mm-hmm.
Which is a lot of fun, because this is where she turns into a flying squirrel and just bounces actually out of the gymnasium.
They have a funny meme actually now on Facebook. They said, here was her last routine, and it shows her catapulting up through space, around the moon, around the earth, and then back down.
I don't know, it's a meme. I think that's actual footage.
She has springs on her feet.
She's unbelievable.
But before that happens, this is the exact quote from the Associated Press, it's the men's turn to take to the sewage-filled waters off Copacabana Beach for their 10-kilometer open water race.
Oh, it sounds like a lot of fun.
Okay, yesterday I was watching the girls' open water race.
Uh-huh.
It was phenomenal. First of all, they make them swim out to the starting place.
Yeah,
which
250
is like,
yards, I think.
I couldn't swim that far. Then they finally get to the starting.
Couldn't they boat them out there and drop them off?
No, they make them get in the water and swim.
It's the Olympics. Olympians.
Then they swim for like 6.5 miles. It takes them 2 hours in that gross water. And I thought, wow. And then they have to tap this electronic sign when they get to some boat buoy, you know, that's where they win.
That's the check-in?
Then they get to go in a boat, finally.
Bring them back on a boat?
Finally, they get to go in a boat, yes.
See, I'm just winded listening to that. Mm-hmm.
The top five get to come back in the boat.
Oh, the rest have to swim
back? The rest have to swim back.
Yeah.
Did you know the mountain bike course burned up?
Yes, I saw the flames.
Yeah, the mountain bike course, they don't know what they're going to do exactly.
They weren't on it, were they?
No, I don't believe so. There was a trash fire.
Oh, my God.
That got out of control, and the mountain bike course burnt up.
But what?
Burnt up real good.
Why? I couldn't figure out why it burned exactly along the course.
I mean, because of the way they cut the course out. Right,
so that would make sense. Yeah,
so the fire burned to the edge of the course.
This is a situation.
I have a question for you guys.
It's a burnt course situation.
Yes. An Olympic question.
Yes, go ahead.
So yesterday,
you come to the right place. Fire away.
All right, good, because I know you being an Olympian, and
former
Dave
Olympian,
being a sports
yes, former
director,
Olympian.
And we'll
yes.
have the answer.
That's how Dave
to this.
And I met when he called my my zinc medal mm-hmm. that I won mm-hmm. at the Montreal Games at the age of 15.
That was a thrill.
All right, so last night during track, it was
yes.
the 400. Allison,
the 400.
Allison Felix took the silver.
Yes, yes, because her competitor did what?
Because the competitor, Shanae Miller, dove. She's from the Bahamas. She dove over the finish line.
Yeah.
How is that allowed?
And she's 6'1".
Well, she saw Talladega Nights, Ricky Bobby, and she saw Ricky Bobby in the foot race with Jean, whatever his name was.
Uh-huh.
And they did a dive at the finish line. She thought, that works for me. What do you mean, how is it allowed? First across wins.
I don't understand that. It seems as though they should have to run across. I mean, I could dive across.
They did say.
I think if you're willing to take a facial on the track... for the sake of winning, you win.
And
I think you should be able to tackle the other competitors.
You should be able to. Just make it roller
yeah.
derby.
Yeah, yeah.
They did point out that her torso had to cross the finish line. So
she has to go bell
it's
high?
It's not just when her head or outstretched arms cross the finish
line. First belt to cross.
Basically.
And it used to be feet. Now it's torso. I mean, it's been torso for a while, but... You know, if they could just look at the foot when they take the camera shot,
yeah,
that would be, wouldn't that be just easier?
To me, it seems like an illegal move.
Yeah, well, looked like she wiped out, but
she did
she
wipe
dove.
Out.
Yeah,
I think
she did it on purpose.
Your entire body should be across the finish line. First body to cross the finish line.
And I also feel bad that they had to
just
run.
Just break the tape thing. It's like the NFL rule. Any part of the football crosses, no matter if it's slapped out of your hands in a second, shut up. As a matter of fact, they should have to carry a football completely across the finish line at the Olympics. That would fix both problems.
Have them toss the football to them
you have to
just
catch
before.
It.
Yeah.
You have to catch it and score with it and spike it.
That's a great idea.
spike it.
I mean, look how popular football is.
That's what I'm saying. Look, I'm an idea guy. What can I tell you?
Yep. I guess so.
What's left in the games that I have any interest in?
Floor exercises. Oh, they'll run they run another track tonight, don't they? The women
track just keeps going. They still have to do the decathlon and all that.
Usain Bolt, they're starting.
Oh, yeah, he's got the 200.
200. Big thing with the 200.
I was talking to him last night. I said, "You," because I call him you.
You.
Mm-hmm. I said, "You, you got to go as fast as you possibly can, and let's stop with the smiling and the selfie taking until you've actually crossed the finish line." Because I don't know if you know this, in the 100, he stopped and took pictures of fans before he finished the race.
Yes.
That's how fast.
He's looking around. Yeah. It's like he's sightseeing.
Did you see that great picture of him smiling?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like two strides before the finish line. He's turning around smiling, going, "This is going to make me a lot of money."
Mm-hmm. Did he hang up on you too?
No, we were texting.
Okay.
And
right,
he said,
"Don't
text me and don't call Simone." Yeah, that's what he said. But all the big stuff's over, right? We still got a week to go.
No, you've got a lot left.
The marathon?
The marathon is the last day.
The decathlon? The heptathlon?
Basketball. You've got the women.
Whatever.
The volleyball, basketball.
The medal round and
volleyball,
basketball.
Volleyball's pretty good.
Volleyball's cool. I like that.
Women's golf.
Women's golf starts on the 17th.
That's a thrill.
That's going to be awesome.
That's a good point, Mara. That is a thrill.
Hey, this is going to be awesome. Girls golf.
But it seems like they front-loaded the two biggest things, swimming and gymnastics. They should have split those up.
They go on for too long.
Who? The Olympics?
The swimming. Yeah, I think the Olympics go on for too long. I do.
The track and field's the best.
You ready to move on?
I'm ready.
Your ADD kicked in?
My ADD kicked in after the opening ceremonies.
Opening ceremonies end. Audrey goes, "When is this over?
When does this end?"
The open water did me in after watching that.
So you like the closing ceremonies right after the opening ceremonies?
Immediately following.
So the athletes walk in, they turn around, they walk right back out.
They could take a break, have a little intermission, have a hot pretzel, and then closing.
You know, they have the sailing too, which a lot of it got wiped out yesterday because of the weather. Mm-hmm. So,
you know, it was funny last night when I was watching the Olympics, you know, from my Olympic headquarters where I'm in touch with all the athletes. The divers were getting disturbed by the wind.
Oh, really?
Which is why I would say maybe dive, I don't know, indoors!
There's green water indoors.
The divers, there's several times, they like if you wave, you know who would know about this is Larry Wirt. Larry Wirt, who runs this company, almost made the Olympics as a diver back in the 30s or whenever he was doing it.
I did not know that.
He's a really good diver.
Was he synchronized with Jimmy DeCastro?
No, not for a while. The divers apparently would get out with their little tippy toes on the end of the board, and the wind gusts would come up.
I believe it.
Some they'd either walk off or they'd fall into the pool.
I would have
had a gold medal last time, hit the board. Oh. Yeah. How about that?
I would have a hard time balancing, you know, because the board does move.
Well,
oh, no, I guess it doesn't move.
I'm not a strong yeah, it does. I'm not a strong swimmer. So, you know, I probably wouldn't be great for that.
You'd have your floaties.
If you could dive with floaties, if I could dive wearing a giant inflatable flamingo, first off, I think it'd be picturesque. And secondarily, I would live. You've been listening to a highly technical Olympic update, 6:19 in the morning, and we'll come back. Nick's going to be on. We'll talk to Nick about Nick stuff in a moment on 720 WGN.
What to see, what's out at the show, I need to know the place and when. But there's one guy on Kian's Cochran show, and what he says will make us stay or go. He is Nick at Night, DiGiulio. He knows what shows are good, what's stinking. He's the only one who's in the know. I need to know what Nick is thinking.
Nick DiGiulio, live from his house. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing fine.
Good.
The box office surprise of this past weekend was a lovely little film, about food that that fools around in the house when you're out. And I understand. I've not seen Sausage Party. I understand it's highly entertaining once you get past the fact that it's pretty filthy.
It is. You know, I have to say that it was nice to come back to a weekend with such good movies being released. Like, the three major releases this week were great. And it was nice to come back after a week off and have some really good movies to talk about.
All right, but I want to warn listeners. I've seen enough of Sausage Party to know this. I want to warn listeners that if you think this is a cute film for the kids, no, it's not. No.
No.
And if you think this is a, you know, a film to be fun and funny for you adults, yeah, as long as you're willing to roll with the fact that it's, you know, it's filthy. But it's funny. It's definitely funny.
It is. It's very, very funny. And I basically had had my fill of Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg. I didn't like any of the Neighbors movies. I hated This Is the End. And I had kind of reached my ceiling with these guys and their type of humor. And I went in with kind of low expectations, and I laughed throughout the entire thing. It's, you know, not quite on the level as, you know, as Trey Parker and Matt Stone. It's not quite as brilliant as South Park and how naughty and brilliant that show gets, or as great as Team America. But it's in the same, I would put it in the same company. There are massively huge laughs in this movie. And again, if you're offended by bad language, and I mean, within 3 minutes, about 80 F-bombs are dropped, you know, within the first 3 minutes of the film.
And even if it's done by a cute hot dog, it may still annoy you.
Yeah, yeah. But there are things in it that I just scream laughed at. And I got to say, the second, you know, half of the movie into the final third, it becomes a very sort of existential film. I mean, it really is about a godless world. It's about faith. It really goes into a territory that I did not expect an R-rated, vulgar, animated slob comedy to go to. And as a result, it raises the quality of the film. And there's really a lot of stuff to think about in this movie. And I didn't think it would go into that existentialism category, but it did. And it's a surprisingly terrific film.
All right. Now, for the people that are listening, you're going, Nick needs sleep. He's falling off the edge of the wall here. There is a question that goes on with stuff like this all the time. And it is doable in the right movie where it's completely patently ridiculous, but then they pull it together for a message. You're telling me this works.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and it works, and it works within the confines of the genre, which is, you know, lowbrow, vulgar humor. And yet the film really questions faith. It really questions, you know, if there's a society of, you know, where there is no God. It talks about our belief system and what we believe in and how that completely can be changed in a millisecond. And I never thought it would be a movie, you know, that had a talking hot dog in it, and that would be the message of the movie. But it's good stuff. Really, really funny stuff.
Yeah, I'm no Seth Rogen fan as well, but I'm tempted to see the whole movie, not just the third that I have seen. What's Hell or High Water?
Hell or High Water, I think, one of the best movies of the year. Like I said, this weekend was great. Hell or High Water is a modern-day Western crime drama about two brothers played by Ben Foster and Chris Pine.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It's a bank robbery movie.
Exactly, who go on a spree of bank robberies to help get their family's farm back. It involves casinos and banks and a plot. Jeff Bridges, who is my favorite American actor working today and ever, plays the sheriff that's on their trail.
And I hear he's great.
He's great in it, and it's perfect casting. You know, I mean, if you get Bridges in a movie like this, you're going to get gold. And this is a movie that goes way beyond just being your average crime thriller. It goes beyond the kind of stuff that the Coen brothers attempted with No Country for Old Men. And it goes into a deeper, deeper category. It's a movie, a deeply, deeply felt movie about, you know, what it's like to be in West Texas and what's happening to that area and how the people feel about it. It's about racism. It's about family relationships. It's about it's about politics. It's about money. And it is really, there's a lot of stuff going on in this movie. But the thing that I loved most about it is that it feels and looks and sounds like a Western. I mean, this movie, it's a modern day film. It's a crime drama, bank robbery movie, but it looks and feels like a classic Western. And that's what I love about it. It's, you know, we don't get a lot of great Westerns anymore. And it's one of my favorite genres. And this is a movie that feels like a Western. It feels like a movie that would have been directed by Walter Hill maybe 20 years ago. And I pretty much loved every second of it. I thought it was absolutely great. The acting is all great. Very exciting, beautifully shot. Really, really great tribute to the Western genre.
Why to get an R? Excessive violence?
Violence and language, yeah.
Not, but is it gratuitous? Is it Scarface violence, or is it just it fits the story?
No. I mean, it suits the subject matter.
Okay.
It's not a hard R. It's not, you know, it's not filled with the kind of vulgarity that Sausage Party has.
Right.
But it is definitely a solid R-rated film. Yeah.
Pete's Dragon.
The biggest surprise of the summer, without question. I don't know if you remember the piece of crap that came out in 1977 called Pete's Dragon.
No.
Disney. Love that.
Well, of course you loved it. You were 2 years old or something.
I was. It was so good. But again, I was two.
Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming you haven't seen it since you've become an adult.
No.
And I wouldn't recommend it. It's a terrible movie. And so the idea that Disney remade it, I just immediately thought, oh, this is going to be terrible. The idea that it came out in mid to late August is another bad sign. And I went in with the lowest expectations possible. This is a beautiful movie. A beautiful movie. Lovely. It made me cry. It made my dad cry. And my dad does not cry.
Wow.
It made my dad cry. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it reminded your dad of when he had a dragon as a boy.
Exactly. And how he wished I would have been a dragon and not a son. this is just it's such a huge surprise. It's beautifully made, beautifully written, and it absolutely should be compared in the same level as, say, The Iron Giant or even E.T. It's that kind of good. It's that kind of family, beautiful movie that deserved to be seen by so many more people. It only made $21 million over the weekend, which is a huge disappointment. This movie, I'll put it to you this way. As my colleague Eric Childress said, if you are at the multiplex and you see a family bringing their kids, parents bringing their kids to see the movie Nine Lives with Kevin Spacey turning into a cat, instead of Pete's Dragon, call social services on them. That's basically
DCFS must intervene. It's Nick DiGilio on Facebook where?
At Nick D Show.
And killing it.
And on Twitter, at Nick D Show, too.
Yeah, killing it on social media. All right, buddy, thanks. We'll come back. Big story next, 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
6:41, can't mess around this morning because this young lady we're about to meet for Kid of the Week's got to go to school. She's already, I think, day four, and she's back in school.
School
back last week.
It seems early, but it's about the right time.
Well, when you're Kid of the Week, you got a lot to accomplish. You don't sit around all summer. Chloe Healy is her name. And Chloe, you are on Kid of the Week, and you're this week's Kid of the Week, thanks in part to our friends at Rand Raymond Chevrolet. Don't forget the Kid of the Year honor at the end of the year, where Dave and Mary Vandeville will be sequestered until they come up with a Kid of the Year. When you do that, we'll let you out of your sequestration.
It's really not necessary to sequester us.
Sequestration.
Well, I'll lock you up.
You don't have to lock us up. I'm happy to do it.
No, I'm going to lock you up. Going to lock the two of you up until you come out with a Kid of the Year. And it could be Chloe.
Could be.
Very well be Chloe. Thanks to Ray and Raymond Chevrolet. Let's go to Chloe now. Good morning, Chloe.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. How are you today?
I'm doing awesome.
And you're back at school already?
Yep, we do start early.
Okay. What grade are you in this year?
I'm in sixth. So I'm in middle school.
Sixth grade. Well, you sound very mature for a sixth grader. What's the last immature thing you've done? Did you have you broken anything you shouldn't have broken? Have you fibbed to your parents? Anything like that? Or you sound are you this mature all the time?
No, I'm pretty mature for my age. That.
Well said by you. All right. So your grandmother, maybe your grandfather told us about you. But we'd talk about what you're going through as a family. What happened to your dad?
Well, my dad had a blood clot. We were in Tennessee visiting our relatives. And when we were driving home, I was about 4 years old. And my dad was a passenger. And he just said, well, my leg is really hurting. And so my mom asked him, well, do you want to go to the hospital? And he said, no, I'll just wait to visit our family doctor. So we just kept going, and we were in the middle of nowhere, no hospitals, anything like that. You know, Tennessee is kind of in the middle of nowhere. So, and when we were there, he was like, wow, my leg really hurts. You really need to go to the hospital. So we weren't near any doctors, any hospital. And so my mom called, and they airlifted him from Tennessee to where we were all the way to Indy, and they had to do surgery right away because they thought he wouldn't make it out. And so it was really scary.
Of course.
And I was really scared that I was going to lose my dad because I'm very close to my dad.
Which
and my mom was there to support me. So, but yeah, it was really scary.
I can imagine it would have been. Now you're 11 and you love, now watch this tie here. You love sea creatures. You love animals. You love critters. Wet and dry, and you are a regular and frequent researcher and visitor to the Clearwater Marine Aquarium in Florida, right?
That's right. I'm friends with the CEO of the aquarium, David Yates. He's amazing, and all the trainers and staff are very friendly and knowledgeable, and just when you walk into the aquarium, you can feel like anyone who goes to visit Winter just feels special, and I love visiting there because it's so inspiring, and, you know, everybody can relate to winter, you know, with their own life challenges. And it's just amazing to see all the people that walk into the aquarium that get to see winter and to see the looks on their faces. And it's just really amazing. Like, there's so many people out there that have amazing stories, and I'm glad to be sharing one of mine.
Sure, sure. And do you think you want to be a marine biologist someday or something in that field?
Good question. Well, I want to be a marine mammal trainer, which is where you work with all marine mammals. So I'm going to take a four-year degree in psychology, a background in biology, and a minor in environmental science because I care about the environment. And it's important that we take care of our environment because if we don't, then these animals aren't going to thrive.
I want to remind you,
it's important not only to train them, it's also important that we take care of the environment because
sure.
We live in the environment, and it's really important.
I want to remind people who might have listened and caught on here in the middle, she's 11. All right, so how does this tie back to your dad? Here's how it ties back to your dad. Winter, who we mentioned from A Dolphin's Tale, for those of you who saw the movie or know the story, lost his tail, and he had a prosthetic tail made by the Hanger Company. The Hanger Company has also done something medically with your dad, because did your dad lose his leg?
Well, the doctor, I'm going to go back to, after that, he kept having blood clots.
Sure.
We were in the hospital all the time. I had to do homework at the hospital. It was very, very sad. And I loved dolphins at the time, so I needed some inspiration. And Dolphin Tale came out. And so I'm like, wow, I love dolphins. You know, the first time I ever swam with a dolphin, I was four. And ever since, I've wanted to be a dolphin trainer. And so here comes Dolphin Tale, and we go and watch it, and I'm, like, so inspired. And so I started making letters to my dad when he was in the hospital, you know, pictures of winter and stuff like that, and he was really inspired by it. So when my dad still had his leg, we went to actually go visit Winter, and So we got to swim with Panama, which was Winter's companion.
Wow.
But she died, as shown in Dolphin Tale 2. And she was the oldest dolphin. And I brought my grandpa along with me. And it was just really amazing. So when we got back, the doctor told him that it was a life or death situation, whether he loses leg or he dies. So after seeing, I told my dad, if Winter can lose her tail and still be able to do what other dolphins can do, then you can lose your leg and be able to do what any other human can do. So he lost his leg, and he got a prosthetic, and now he's back to work, and he's swimming, and he's doing everything that he wanted to do for years. And I'm so proud of him because, and proud of Winter because I don't know where I'd be without her, and the Clearwater Marine Aquarium. I mean, it's really amazing, and it's just awesome that I get to share my story with people because it's inspiring.
Well, a lot more people know about it now, thanks to you, and it really is inspiring. I can't imagine how close you and your dad are, even before, but now certainly with this bond, and to be able to encourage your dad at a real tough point like this, and help him be strong, and as strong as I know that he is. Well, you're an exceptional young lady, so congratulations. You're kid of the week. You're something else. And by the way, at 11, to know what you're going to do when you get to college, that's fairly impressive.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
All right, you're planning out your whole life. You let us know what we need to do, because I got a feeling we're going to be listening to Chloe tell us what to do, and we're going to just say thank you because she knows what's happening. Chloe, you're great. Hold.
Dolphin place, come visit anytime, and I'll let you get in the water with the dolphins.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Everything like
that. Yeah, how about that, right? With Winter. All right, hold on. How about that kid?
That's
how about
so
that
cool.
kid? Find me another 11-year-old that goes, I know the CEO.
Or knows that she wants to do a double major and a minor
yeah.
at that point.
Well, I said in your ear, Steve, I said she sounds like she's 20.
Yeah,
right.
And who knew
yeah.
anything about a minor when they're 12 or 11? I didn't even know what a
it's
major was. Or
yeah.
I was more worried about my Keebler Elf cookies not
yeah.
melting right. on my way to school.
Right.
Remember those?
You know, and
those
she actually told me good.
Love those.
She told me good question, and in my head I'm going, oh, cool. She thought it was a good question. Trying to impress the 11-year-old.
You didn't even have to ask her a question. She knew all the answers.
I'm telling you. Chloe Healy, getting it done.
Wow.
Kid of the Week, don't forget to get us your nominees for Kid of the Week so we can make sure that we take care of your Kid of the Week and you tell us about the Kid of the Week that you've come across in your world or that you know. Let's start with this. Let's get her a pair of tickets to the... Well, this kid's got to have some fun. She's working to her. A pair of tickets to the Goa Treetop Adventure with suspended obstacles, Tarzan swings, and breathtaking... She probably knows Tarzan. She probably knows Tarzan. She probably is familiar with his work. There's zip lines at Bemis Woods and the Cook County Forest Preserves near Western Springs. It's all at GoApe.com. Lou Malnati's Pizza as well. You can go to LouMalnati's.com. Have some pizza when you're not solving the world's problems. And the amazing Chloe Healy... Let's see. Let's get this for your family as well. A ChevyDriveChicago.com, WGN Radio, stainless steel travel mug, and a bag of Papa Nicholas coffee, courtesy of your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. And let's throw in an app gift card.
That sounds good. And that GoApe that you give away to the kids, I had a chance to do that. It's really cool. You can zip line, and there's stuff for everybody. There's obstacle courses, so there's stuff on the ground as well as in the air, too. So it's all-inclusive. It's for everybody. It's wonderful.
651. Texters through at 291-7200. Text question, Dave. When is synchronized swimming?
Synchronized swimming.
Put that on your best research people and get back to us.
I watched it yesterday.
Oh, it's already going on?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. All right. What did they show during the day?
Yeah, they were showing it during the day. I think the finals might actually be today.
Synchronized swimming.
Sure.
They have more synchronized swimming today.
Yeah, probably today. The girls made it into the finals, semifinals or whatever. The Americans. American duo. They're awesome.
The synchronized divers. Have you seen that? Where they dive together?
That's really cool.
The Brazilian women synchronized divers, they split up as a team. Competition's over, but they've decided they don't want to dive together anymore. They were roommates, and according to a published story yesterday, one of the women had a hookup at the Olympic Village and told her friend she had to find somewhere else to sleep and it was the night before the competition.
Oh.
It's all those condoms they passed out.
You know, can't they, I'm just speaking as a non-Olympian, can't they wait until after their event for the hookups and the, you know, the hijinks and merriment that goes on at the Olympic Village?
Well, you didn't say that when you were in the games.
Well, that was, it was a different time, Steve.
630 texter, I'm disappointed by your reporting on the women's balance beam results. Simone Biles stumbled and didn't get the gold. That's sad but fair. I have not heard you mention, however, that Lori Hernandez took silver.
I believe I just said that a few minutes
you
ago.
Did. Yeah, the recognition
that she earned. Dave?
I did say that.
You're never going to be Kid of the Week. You're a huge disappointment.
Well, there's no question about that.
So. Give me, I gotta play this piece of sound, because give me Rudy Giuliani. Tell me when it's ready. Mayor Giuliani is a prime spokesperson, and we'll play you the Trump audio at some point this morning for Trump's foreign policy speech yesterday. And in case you missed it, I defended Trump earlier.
Yeah, that was odd.
Not a lot he can say without having the gig. And not saying much yesterday was not a big surprise.
You did say God forbid, but...
I did?
You did.
See if you can notice the obvious what in the middle of this statement from Rudy Giuliani.
Remember, we didn't start this war. They did. We don't want this war. They do. Under those 8 years, before Obama came along, we didn't have any successful radical Islamic terrorist attack in the United States. They all started when Clinton and Obama got into office.
One person applauded because the rest of the room was going, what?
What?
What? Rudy Giuliani was mayor of New York City on 9/11. Rudy Giuliani went from a low popularity numbers outgoing mayor to a hero who looked like he had a legitimate run for the White House in his future. For the way he handled 9/11 and the weeks following 9/11 and the months following 9/11, leading up to him leaving the post as mayor. Rudy Giuliani was there!
Right.
So to say that there was not a successful radical fundamentalist Islam... Look, I don't even know if you're trying to make a political statement, but if I'm close to Rudy Giuliani, I'm taking him to a hospital now.
Maybe we need...
I want to get him checked up. He needs a checkup from the neck up immediately. I have no idea where that came from, what the point he was trying to make, because I'm pretty sure he didn't forget where he was on 9/11.
Maybe we need to remind him that it was 2001.
Because we remind him.
You know, we all say 9/11.
Please.
2001.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
7:10 in the morning. 815, can you see why I can't support Republicans? They're all crazy. See, that doesn't help. A, it's not true. And B, it's not true. Donald Trump's lead economic advisor reported by multiple sources yesterday he hasn't met him. And then others have said he's met him, but he just doesn't talk to him. A Trump presidency would be one of delegation. Now, that's not the worst thing in the world. If you're surrounded by really competent people, the best there are, who you're turning over many of the powers of the presidency to, and then you go out and make the decisions or announce the decisions, such as they are. It's not probably the way the job needs to be done at this point. But let's talk about the economics of this. Yesterday, Trump made his ISIS speech. We'll get more into that later. But standing by on the phone now, Alan Axelrod, Pulitzer Prize-winning cartoonist Michael Ramirez and historian Alan Axelrod got together for a book called Full Faith and Credit, out and available everywhere. Dr. Axelrod joins us now. Good morning, sir.
Morning.
So I have the story here that Trump has not met with his lead economic advisor or has met him but doesn't listen to him. That's not a great idea.
Well, probably not, especially since Trump's outline of an economic plan would probably add $7.5 to $9 trillion to the debt.
The debt is the big kahuna here, and by the way, Hillary Clinton's not off the hook on this at all.
Of course not.
And explain the Clinton side of the.
But at least she's got a plan to add to the debt. It's not just something that's going to happen.
She means to add to the debt. It's not just an accident.
That's right.
All right, so this is where a lot of people glaze over and go, yeah, I don't want to pay attention to this. And I'm asking you to pay attention to this because it's vitally important. Can you explain why $20 trillion, to round off, is a horrific figure and what it does generationally to the country?
Well, what it does generationally to the country is rob our children and grandchildren, foist off on them the debts that we have accumulated. It's rather like going out and buying a Maserati and then telling the salesman, "No, my daughter will take care of the bill." It's not something that most of us would do, at least those of us who aren't the psychopaths. So we don't want to the phrase is, and it's an accurate phrase, we don't want to mortgage our children's future. More immediately, it's money that that really is taken out of everyone's pocket. If you figure we have right now a $19.4 trillion national debt, that breaks down to $60,000 per citizen, $162,000 per taxpayer. If you just go with the actual taxpayers, and it's an incredibly crippling debt to have. It's also politically very dangerous. If we should default on payments, which has never happened, not yet, although that is something, by the way, Donald Trump, and not to pile on him, but earlier in his campaign, discussed the possibility of. We could renegotiate the Treasury bonds that are out there and pay them on pennies on the dollar. That's done in business all the time.
But that's the big concern here, is that Donald Trump, whether he's had business success or not, and to what level it's real or false, you can't run the federal government like you run a business. It just doesn't work that way.
Not and maintain, to use the title of my book, not to maintain the full faith and credit of the United States. No. What you would have is that the chief reason that the dollar stands globally now and has stood for quite some time as the global reserve currency, the currency in which most international trade ultimately takes place, is that the United States is perceived as stable and as a nation that an investment in is very safe. If that happens, if we default in any way on the debt, the country will lose its social, economic, and political power, and this will become a true national security issue.
Doctor, we've been living this in Illinois for the past year plus with unpaid bills, racking up debt. How do you stop the government from racking up debt? Because it seems right now that the Democrat, Republican, whoever it is, just keeps passing the buck on.
Correct. And financially, it is not an impossible task to begin to reduce spending and increase revenue in order to reduce the national debt. Politically, however, it is a very daunting task because in order to do this, you will be asking people to accept the idea of cuts in entitlements, including Social Security. You will be asking people to accept the idea of tax increases, either through probably through some combination of tax reform, closing loopholes, getting rid of tax cuts that are really really a form of expenditure, so-called tax expenditures, and at some point also actually increasing the tax rate. there is going to have to be a reduction of spending, a reduction in spending, and an increase in revenue. And the way that's done generally is by raising tax revenue. And that will begin to beat down the national debt.
Yeah, and the Illinois version of that are public pensions, and state versions of that is the public pension debt that goes on. But this is something that we cannot pass on, that we can't pass on to the next generation. Chicago does have the great danger of turning into Detroit at its worst. And this country does have the danger of becoming less secure, because that's the thing I think people don't make the connection to. Okay, maybe we're economically weakened, big deal. What does that mean? We're still the United States. You're weakened on every level when you're economically weakened by the debt that we're talking about. This debt is crushing. And in the book, you also give us a little relief here, because you also point out how idiotic this government is and the billions of dollars that are wasted. Tell the ammunition story.
Well, I don't have that off the top of my head.
Well, I have it for you because I pulled it for you.
Go ahead.
$1 billion spent. $1 billion spent to destroy $16 billion worth of ammunition that we decided was no longer needed or that we shouldn't have in our stockpiles.
Yes. And this kind of thing is not uncommon. The waste, some of it through just sheer stupidity, some of it through fraud, especially in the entitlements more than in the military sector, but the military sector has plenty of pork barrels.
Yeah, $46 billion in fraudulent Medicare payments that the government issued because we don't have a system to stop the fraud in place that's effective enough.
Correct.
We're only missing the mark by $46 billion.
And it's now also been estimated at closer to $60 billion, so the hits keep coming. Part of it is outright fraud. Part of it is a category called improper payments, which include paying all sorts of benefits to people who've been dead for years, simply because things have. And the strange thing is that the government has a very good handle on this. They monitor this very closely. It's like those commercials for the service that monitors your identity against identity.
Yeah, yeah. LifeLock.
The government is a monitor of waste, but doesn't really take much action against it.
No, there's a national. It's not the National Death Registry, but there's a national list that's constantly updated when you die. An insurance
Social Security master death file.
That's it, the master death file. And the master death file is supposed to be utilized by insurance companies, by probate attorneys, and by everybody to you can settle up on debts and death in an appropriate manner. But again, that doesn't happen. If either one of these candidates stood up and said, in my first 100 days, I will commission an audit of every department of the federal government, and if it takes 8 years to even crack the nut on this, that's what we're going to do. That would ring with people.
Yes, it would. I think it absolutely would. And this is, in a small way, what I try to do on a kind of individual level with this book is at least give a picture of what is going on, so that you can not simply be overwhelmed by cynicism and fear, but actually figure out ways to prevail upon our elected officials to do something about it.
This is where it comes to, a full circle here. Full Faith and Credit, again, is the book, and it's Dr. Axelrod. But here's the deal. These are my words, not anybody else's. Donald Trump is dangerously crazy. Hillary Clinton is dangerously narcissistic. Both are bad. I don't believe Hillary Clinton will damage the country the way Donald Trump could damage the country, but economically, both of them have their heads so far up their own butts they could hear an echo. Maybe that could be the title of your sequel. Doctor, I thank you. It's called Full Faith and Credit. Get the book. Get two copies. You'll lose the first one. Don't add to the national debt. Pay your bills. $7.26 in the morning, and Let's get away from politics for a second. Pennsylvania couple driving down the road snapped a photo of the car next to him. It was on the Schuylkill Expressway. Sent it to the local TV station. You can find this online. A female driver is texting on her phone with both hands and driving with her feet. She has her New Balances up on the steering wheel so she can properly text with both hands. She's steering with her foot.
Well, who's hitting the gas? Or is she...
One leg up, one foot down.
Okay, that's nasty.
Nasty? It's incredibly stupid. Sarah DeLong shot the video, said she and her husband followed the driver for about 20 minutes. At one point, we beeped at her to get her attention. She just smirked and kept doing it.
What's wrong with people?
In Scotland, a cyclist captured a man who was using his cell phone, headphones, and a laptop while he drove.
I've seen people on iPads. I really have. You can always tell, too. It's the person who's weaving or what is that important that can't wait?
Well, that's that great text program. It can wait.
Yeah.
One in four drivers admit to some form of distracted driving. AAA Foundation.
Yeah. AAA.
AAA. But what can
American
I think?
Automobile Association.
Wow. Yeah. Thanks. AAA. Foundation says there's 27 second lag time between a driver putting down a phone and being completely engaged in driving again. A lot of bad things can happen in 30 seconds. So just a heads up. And by the way, if you see a jackass driving, you know, say with their foot on a steering wheel, and you take your eyes off the road to take a picture of them to post it on social media, you're probably not helping. Mm-mm. You know, get their plate, call the police, and just move on.
By the way, if you do a search of that, there's lots of them.
Oh, yeah.
This is not an isolated incident.
We've done this many times on the show where, you know, what's the weirdest thing you've ever seen driving? You know, and it's not just people having sex. It's people, you know, eating. I love eating soup.
Or a salad, yeah.
Or a salad. Or
yeah. Flossing.
Chinese food, yeah, flossing, all those things. Yeah. 728, we'll come back and we'll get the big story. And then we'll continue discussing the fact that the country is headed for broker. Not broke, broker under a Clinton or a Trump presidency, according to people that actually know what they're talking about. Later on, a special visit from Gary Whiteman, who runs PR for the Tribune Media Company, because he has news on you Dish Network subscribers and how it's going to affect your Cubs coverage going forward. At 729, we'll do this first on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
It will be American energy mined from American sources that powers this country. Americanism, not globalism, will be our new credo.
What's Trump's plan? Well, he laid it out last week. And I'll admit, even before he did, I didn't think it was going to be good for working Americans. But it turned out to be worse than I ever imagined. I know some of you may have friends up here in northeastern Pennsylvania who are thinking about voting for Trump. You know, I know, I know.
Here comes the joke.
Friends should not let friends vote for Trump.
Don't be funny. Don't be funny. There'd be quantified percentage-wise how much of the time the candidates are talking about their own stuff versus talking about how the other candidate sucks. We go through this with every major election, of course, but it doesn't make it right. Just want you to picture wherever you're going this morning to your job. If you're in a position of hiring, you're in any level of management, you hire people. You be the manager, I'll be the prospective employee. Because this is what Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are, they're prospective employees. Ask me a question as the manager. I'm coming in to get a job. Any company, doesn't matter what.
Any question.
Yeah.
Any question.
You're interviewing me.
Yeah. How much experience do you have?
Well, I have quite a bit of experience, but I can tell you this right now. The person that you're thinking about hiring other than me doesn't have the kind of experience I have. And frankly, the experience they have is fake because they lied on the resume.
Why do you want to work here?
Well, I want to work here because I think I can make this company great again. And the important thing for you to remember, I think, from your position, which I respect completely, by the way, is the other person that you're talking to really doesn't want to work here. They're just trying to get the job, and then they're going to steal from the company.
Will you take a pay cut to work here?
Well, I suppose it depends on, you know, what type of pay cut we're talking about. I do know this. The other person that you're thinking about interviewing is only in it for the money. Yeah.
Got it.
So.
I think that interview went well.
This is what I'm talking about. Right. Nothing is about, you know, the job. Mm-hmm. It's all about the other person sucks.
That's what.
Aren't you tired of that?
That's
people?
What is so.
Aren't you tired of it?
That's what's so frustrating. You know the mudslinging is going to go on. You know that's going to start. But when you're asked a direct question about ISIS or the economy or Homeland Security, just answer what you would do. That's all anybody right. wants to hear.
Right.
Not what the other person
and the
isn't doing.
Greatest development between now and November, and I mean that's for both sides, would be if the surrogates for both sides would all get one collective case of crippling laryngitis where none of them could speak again. Oh. I'm talking about all of Trump's people, all of Hillary's people. Just shut the hell up. I don't want to hear from you. Now, it's a problem for CNN. It's a problem for... We don't put surrogates on here. Mm-mm. But it's a... I'm not saying we never would, but there's never been a... And they're offered every day. But there's never been a surrogate offered to me that I thought was interesting enough to put on. Because what are they going to do? Put a surrogate on for... They're going to be a surrogate.
They're going to pair it. Yep.
And that's all CNN and MSNBC and Fox. That's what they do. They put on the surrogates all damn day. Now, they have time to fill. They've got to fill the slots. They've got to fill the time. There's got to be people on camera. They got to do it all day. We'll get a little more creative. How about that for a crazy idea?
That's why people are tired of the talking heads. Just mimicking the same thing.
We have Gary Johnson news coming up, the Libertarian candidate, as the deadline is technically passed on whether or not the Johnson-Weld ticket would be included in the debates. I'll tell you about that in a little bit. Back to the Olympics for just a second, Dave. I don't know if you're aware of this, but in Majestic Olympic Stadium, when I would throw the discus or the javelin, who would go get the javelin or the discus and bring it back? Would it be the javelin or the discus wrangler? Would it be Timmy, the Olympic intern? Who would get it?
I believe that they have people to do that.
A tiny remote-controlled truck.
Is there a truck?
Yeah.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
How about a drone?
No, you can't do a drone because if you're flying the discus overhead and it drops the discus, somebody's going to get a headache.
Yeah, that would be
a problem. I think
they're
only, you can't fly drones over there either.
It is legitimately a remote-controlled truck.
That's
with
cool.
a nice real logo on the side of it. And they put a little thing in the back of the bed of the little tiny toy pickup truck that holds a discus or holds a shot put. And there's actually another truck that's out there that has what amounts to a ski rack that could even pick up the javelin.
That's cool.
So the guy, the judge, sends the remote truck out, and they go pick up the javelin and bring it back.
Is it like a little robotic arm that extends out?
No, there's a guy on the other end. There's a guy on the other end that loads the truck.
Got it.
And they
got to
pick up the hammer, too, for the hammer throw.
Exactly.
It's another apparatus.
Yeah. Apparatus, look at you.
Yes.
Yeah, look at you. So your hammer, all of those.
Discus, shot
I got in trouble
put,
yesterday.
Hammer, javelin, that's four apparatus.
I was at Lowe's.
Uh-huh.
And I'm so caught up in the Olympic fever. I was practicing the hammer throw in the tool aisle.
Oh, no.
And I was just taking hammers and whipping
yikes.
Them.
You're not supposed
did
to
you do
that?
The spin?
The Home Depot?
I did.
Below?
Yeah, and the noise. You know, you spin around like three times and you go,
that must have been a sight.
Clean up in aisle 12.
Yeah.
Cochran's throwing hammers again.
So bringing you the important information you're not going to get anywhere else. Look for the tiny remote-controlled truck to bring back the hammer, the javelin, the discus, and the shot put.
That seems like they really could have like kids do that.
Timmy the intern?
Yes.
He'd have to sign waivers.
Timmy, get the hammer.
Maybe waivers, but a lot of waivers. I mean, that's great experience.
Well, the kid on the other end, that's the person on the other end that's loading the truck, you better not be texting.
Oh,
you better be paying attention.
Yeah.
Hammer, the discus, and the shot put are flying at you.
You know what they could auction off? You know how you auction off a ride on the Zamboni and you go around? You could do that for charity.
There you go. There you go.
Go pick up the discus for charity.
Go pick up the discus. let's talk to Sandberg here in a couple minutes about getting married. We assume she went through with it. And if you have marriage advice for newly married Sandberg, the producer. And by the way, it's no longer Sandberg. We'll reveal her new name in a second.
Oh, did you pick out a new name?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think I'll go with the new name. And she will join us in just a second to talk about it, and we'll ask her about the wedding.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage.
Yes,
da-da-da-da-da. You can't have one.
about the other.
773 texter, marriage advice for Pat. Never, ever, ever take your mother's side over your wife's side, no matter how wrong your wife is. Pretty healthy. Smart. Keep your marriage advice coming in. We'll go through some more of these later on at 312-981-7200. For the final time, Sandberg, I will call you Sandberg, I believe, because your married name is now what?
Boyle.
Mary Boyle.
Mary Boyle. Mary Sandberg Boyle.
And we have mentioned before, because Mary Vandeville is here, she has squatter's rights on the name Mary.
Okay.
Yes.
So therefore, I can't call you Mary. It's confusing to the listeners. So we needed another solution.
It's confusing to the show members.
Yeah.
I call them both Mary.
Well, you can see them.
Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah. True. So I believe we should call you, and we discussed this on the air at one point, MB.
MB.
MB. Mm-hmm. MB, because Boyle isn't... Hey, Boyle!
Yeah.
I don't like Boyle. And we could continue to call you Sandberg, but that's no longer your name.
I mean, yeah.
Be confusing to you.
Yes, probably.
And your middle name, you don't want us to go by your middle name.
Well, it's Mary Heather, but I think Heather is getting dropped for Mary Sandberg Boyle.
Yeah.
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 Be a long name to sign if you had to sign.
So I guess I could put it to a vote from you people. MB, because much like the sponsor, MB means business.
And I do mean business.
Right.
I like Mary, but if you want to
Well, you can't
MB,
call her Mary, though.
Can you
because
call me Mary Boyle? Can you just say Mary Boyle?
Oh, Mary Boyle, like Charlie Brown.
No, no.
Oh, come there on. You go.
Yeah, that kind of rolls
Mary
off
Boyle.
The tongue.
No.
Mary
no.
Boyle. What?
No.
My cousin's name is MB, and I call her MB, so I'm going to be confused.
Well, the number one concern on the show is the confusion
yes.
for you over your
and
cousin.
Her name's Mary Beth, so I call her MB.
Do you not like MB?
Me? No, I'm okay with MB, because if I get sponsored.
Well, yeah, Financial Bank offers you, you know.
Yes.
I like MB.
Yes.
That'd be good.
MB's cute.
Dave, you just walked in. We're changing Mary's name.
Yes, I've heard this.
MB.
MB, I like MB.
Because MB means business.
Yeah.
And MB means business, literally.
Yeah.
Mike, you on board on this?
On board.
Of course, I call Mike, and Jake. Who knows
right.
what his
so
name is?
You may call me a few things, I have a feeling.
All right, we're going to try MB.
Okay.
How about that? We'll try MB, and if it doesn't work out, we'll stop calling you MB.
I will also answer to Stanberg still for a transition period, maybe till November.
Yeah, like 60 days. Yeah, 60 days.
Well, will you answer to Mary Boyle, too, just in
I
case we
answer,
want to bother
yes.
Steve?
Mary Boyle okay. or Mrs. Sandberg, or I mean Mrs. Boyle, if you'd like.
Yeah.
So.
How's your husband? You getting used to that yet?
I know. It's funny. We had to say it like right away. It came up. You
yeah.
know, and so he introduced me last night as his wife. It was cute.
That's cool.
Yeah. The wedding went fine? Nobody ran?
Nobody ran, and the wedding was amazing.
And you had a beautiful, well, you look beautiful. Beautiful
thank you very
dress.
Much. Beautiful. Thank you, thank
great
you.
Cake, though. Tell
so
about
I have
the
cake. To tell. Well, I guess you should say, you know, I had told you that it was just going to be Pat, I, and the kids. And my sister at the ceremony, Judge Deb Dueling did it, and she was incredible. She hasn't done a wedding ceremony in like 20 years, and she's never done one in her chambers. And my sister was crying right when she started saying the aww. Wedding ceremony, and then the judge started crying because she said it was very emotional. So
wow,
cool.
But then
when
how do you know the judge?
Through Pat Brady.
And so you didn't have a relationship with the judge?
No, other than when we first talked, we became like fast friends.
But it's her first wedding in 20 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then never has done one in her office and in her chambers. And so she was amazing. So then I surprised Pat when we went to dinner. He thought it was just going to be
when
kids
you
and I.
Left him and asked for an annulment.
Yes.
No.
That is a surprise.
Yes.
Nobody saw that coming.
No.
His brothers and their wives and his mom had flown in from Michigan. My parents were there, and the judge was there, actually, and my sister and her boyfriend. And so we surprised him. And I
had
a
wonderful
cool.
family
yeah.
dinner, but I have to reveal what happened on Saturday.
Well, okay, so, and we had dinner at Chicago Cut, and Chicago Cut was amazing. Matt Moore and his wife Joan and David Flam and Megan Flam are very good friends of ours. And I just made...
They run the joint.
Yeah.
I just made a dinner reservation with David, and he was on board. He knew that Pat thought it was just going to be the four of us, but really I needed a table of 14. They put us in an amazing table. When I got there, they had flowers on the table for us. They had these beautiful seafood bouquets, the shellfish bouquets.
What about the extras you asked for? Did they have a camel? Because I know you wanted a live camel
there was no
at
camel.
Your disposal.
And I had told the table after we were done eating, because, you know, you eat so much food and the food is so good and whatever. I said, you know, we're not going to do dessert because, you know, we don't gluttonous, whatever. So I told the whole table no dessert. Well, Chicago Cut
surprised me with a cake from Bittersweet Bakery on Belmont, a wedding
cake. Gorgeous cake.
It is beautiful. I'll post pictures at some point. So it was so exciting. I didn't think I wanted a wedding cake until a wedding cake is surprised on you, and then it's like the best thing ever. So we got to cut a cake, and it was really fun. But the family members, I invited them, and they stayed with us that night.
No, wait. See if this sounds like our friend MB.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to have to call you Sandberg. The audience isn't going to know who I'm talking about.
MB is so confusing. I know. Sandberg, my name is Mary Boyle, but I'll go by Sandberg. That's like a nickname, right?
We got to call you Sandberg. Yeah. Because the audience has gotten used to Sandberg.
Yeah. Okay, we're back to Sandberg.
This is bad news for Pat.
when I had asked his family, I said, here's the deal. I'm thinking of pulling this off, this surprise. But you need to come in on Friday, and then I need you to leave Saturday morning.
Okay, yeah.
Can you imagine you doing this?
No,
please. Of course not.
Are you kidding? They'd say, can I stay a month? And I'd go,
I have to admit, this is a David Copperfield move because you're entitled to the weekend. You just got married.
Yeah. Yes, and I did not want to.
And your kids were with you.
Their kids are with us. And I didn't, the way I am, I'm uptight, and I like everything.
No. What?
I like everything perfect all the time. And so when people are in your house, and I'm like, I'll be waiting on them all, because like, oh, there's a mug still sitting on the counter and they would be put in the dishwasher. So I'll have to do, you know, like I didn't want to be all stressy all weekend about how everything is. So I said, I would like you guys to come in. You have to bring Pat's mom because she doesn't fly by herself.
And then you have to leave.
I think it's your wedding day. You know what? That's a fine request.
Dave, could you do that? Could you tell your family, come in and get out in one day?
Less than 24 hours. They have to fly in.
I think that would be possible.
Jake, could you tell your family, come in and get out in one day?
Absolutely.
He could. Oh.
Jake?
Steve?
Truth.
His family doesn't fly in. Well, so by 10:30 a.m. on Saturday morning, Pat was taking him to the airport.
That's great.
And he kind of was like, I can't believe you did this. He couldn't believe I surprised him, but he's like, I can't believe you made them leave.
That to me is the most amazing part of the weekend. Not that you met Pat Boyle from Comcast Sportsnet, his full name, Pat Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet.
Yeah.
Not that you guys fell in love. Not that you got married. Not that you have this wonderful relationship with your stepkids. Not that all of this got pulled off. The most amazing thing to me is you invite the entire family in Friday night for dinner. They come in and they're gone Saturday morning before 11. That's impressive.
Mary, can I hire you to make a few phone calls for me?
Yeah, I told him that's a big reason why it was a surprise to do his family, because he would never have said, hey, can you guys fly in on Friday and leave Saturday morning? And I would.
Do you know what? You remember the show Mad About You?
Yeah.
Paul Reiser? Uh-huh. Paul Reiser tells a great story about when they pitched a show in Hollywood. Pitch meaning tried to sell the show to the network. He sat down and they were looking for a hook, looking for an angle, because you got to do the elevator pitch. You got to come up with something in 10 seconds that describes the show. And he goes, it's the conversation you have in the car after the party. Point being, you go out with somebody, you go to a party, you're dating, you're married, whatever. What do you talk about on the way back? What'd you think of this? What'd you think of that? What's the family saying about you when they get on the plane? I can't believe she sent us all.
I think, like you guys, they're all a little scared of me. So they felt so just like lucky to even be a part of it.
Is there a descriptor for it? Do they refer to it as we got married? As in M-A-R-Y-E-D?
Yeah, you got married.
Or we got sandberged? Yeah,
yes. And they all kept saying, this is very Mary. This is very Mary. Like a very
Mary. I'm impressed. Yeah. I'm impressed. You're entitled to the weekend.
Yeah. That's what I'm like. I want to look back at my wedding weekend and be like happy that I enjoyed myself. But it was amazing.
And happy that you saw their family and you got everybody in.
It was great. They shared in the day. It was very special. It was an amazing evening. I couldn't have enjoyed it more. And they were gone.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations. And we have some guests coming in later as well.
Yeah. My stepdaughter and her friends.
Yeah. And you've been married since Friday. Still going strong?
Uh-huh. It is. Yeah. I can't believe I have a husband.
Children. You have children as well.
I do. That's what.
How cool is that?
Yeah, it's special. You know, you may want to get some preemptive counseling in. I'm just saying, you know, why not start now? Why not start now? Why not go right to counseling?
Before the seven-year itch sets in.
Yeah, so you could have seven-day itch. It's only been 4 days. But we love Pat.
We do.
And we love Sandberg, so this is all good.
It's great. Yeah. And they're so cute.
Thank you.
So.
All right, so more on this later. And please continue to send your gifts in to me specifically, and I will forward them to Sandberg, your wedding gifts. So.
Well, they can just send them to her, too, probably. And
any food gifts should come to the newsroom.
Yeah, definitely send food upstairs, because Steve is starving! Yeah. Back with your news next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you...
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey,
8:14 now. Show number 714 continues. What are we doing for show 720, Dean? Do you have any ideas?
We have the dancing girls, I thought we said, in the meeting.
Yeah, big meeting about show 720.
I thought we said that we were going to have inflatable Steve Cochran show character balloons going down Michigan Avenue.
Yeah.
A la the Macy's Day Parade.
You know what just occurred to me? I'm off next Wednesday and Thursday. Next Wednesday would be show 720, which means the actual show 720 will be Friday.
Okay, cool.
1 week from this Friday. Because we don't count shows when I'm not here.
Okay, so next Friday, party.
By the way, Dean, I just made that rule up. I have no idea if we've counted.
There's a real pat on the back for the rest of us.
Right. Well, if it shows 720, there's some serendipity to serendipitousness to it.
There is.
On behalf of the fill-in staff, I would beg to differ with you.
So, like, when I'm out, those shows have no numbers.
Okay.
People ask all the time. They say, Steve, and I say, what? They say, Steve, why do you count the shows? I go, I don't know. Because I don't know. I don't know. It just started that way.
Something to do.
The shows where you're not here, they have a little asterisk next to them.
Yeah, asterisk.
Asterisk.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
One syllable being way more important in that word than others.
Yeah. Can you fill in next Wednesday?
That's what I'm checking. It's possible that I may
Can you check right now? We'll hold on.
I cannot right this moment. Okay. No.
So maybe we could figure that out.
No.
Here's what's coming up. Justin Bieber has some social media issues.
I can't even believe that I'm doing my segment today. I'm so sick about this Justin Bieber story.
I understand. There's a new Superman suit. It's a double-breasted. It's
I'm
very
sick
nice.
About sick about sick that, about too. It. Hot pants. Who knew?
Yeah. Yeah. Robert Downey's making more money, which is good because he needs it. Larry Wilmore needs work. And the double door, is it going to close? Well, we'll tell you in a second. See that tease I did? That's a professional broadcaster tease.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Also got a couple rock and roll anniversaries coming up. But Dean, enough about the other show business people. How are you? What about you? What about your needs? How are you today?
I'm okay. I'm a little bloated from last night, dinner last night.
Where'd you go to dinner?
I made like a Greek-style beef stew last night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That smelled really good, and I think I may have eaten a little too much of it. It was so delicious.
Were there lots of people? And when you finished it, did you have dessert?
I did not have dessert.
No.
I did not.
Okay.
I had already unbuckled my pants at that point. I thought probably not a good idea to have dessert if I'm...
TMI?
If I'm in a pants unbuckling mode because I'm uncomfortable.
It's one of the great, great, great things that goes on when Dean goes out and he reviews a restaurant. Because sometimes you come in and people maybe don't notice, hey, that's Dean Richards.
Right.
But he comes in, and as soon as his pants are unbuckled, they go, oh, that's his move.
That's his go-to move. You have no idea how many restaurateurs look forward to me taking my pants off.
That's my point. That's my point. If you leave your pants on, that's a bad night for the restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah, that means I'm not enjoying, but... If you just get like a little belt loosening.
Mr. Richards, if there's anything we could do to get you to remove your pants, could we do a different entree?
All the waiters and the owner in the back of the restaurant, he's unbuckling.
They're whispering. I think he's calling for his pants.
Bring him another appetizer.
It's quite a system. It's 8-7, you know, Siskel and Ebert had two thumbs up. Dean has one belt off.
One loop off.
8:17. We're back with more in a moment. Don't miss it. It's going to be even better than this.
Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720.
Are you a morning person, Dean?
Of course. I mean, if I wasn't working this shift?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, me either. Yeah. I used to stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning. Now I get up at 4 o'clock in
same
the morning.
Same with me.
Yeah.
My natural body clock is super late,
mm-hmm.
and it's rugged getting up at early like we do.
Before we get to the really important show business news, I have a list of 10 apps to make you a morning person. You heard of Morning Routine?
I have not.
Morning Routine sets times for your coffee, workout, meditation, morning shower. If I took the time to input into an app when I'm taking a shower in the morning, I would be so annoyed I'd throw my phone through a window. Then I'd have to go out and get a new phone. I'd get even less sleep.
Yeah, I agree. That's counterproductive.
Sleep Cycle. Sleep Cycle is an app that's like an alarm clock that tracks your sleep. You get a 30-minute window of when you want to wake up. The app goes off at an optimal time for you. It's said to learn your sleep pattern. And it's said to work in that way, so you'd get the optimal amount of sleep.
How many times can you hit snooze? I hit snooze a lot.
This to me, I don't know how it even works because the phone's sitting next to you. You know, is the phone watching you? I don't know. Do you cuddle with a phone?
Also sounds like way too much work.
Calm is the third app. Squeeze in some extra time to practice mindfulness in the morning with meditation. I'd like to meditate. I should meditate.
You should.
I should start meditating.
You should start.
Hey, yo, what are you doing over there? Hey, I'm meditating. Just sitting here meditating.
Your mother is meditating.
Om.
I'd like to see either of you guys try and meditate for longer than a minute.
That would make me nervous.
Here's a problem if I meditated. If I was doing meditation, if I was doing meditation, I'd be sitting in a quiet room and I'd fall asleep. You know, which I think is okay, but I don't know. How about the Rock Clock? Dwayne the Rock Johnson has brought up the app. Each wake-up alarm prompts things that come from the Rock's own words to coach you into getting up.
Get up!
A get-up loser. You like any of these, Dean?
You know what that all sounds like to me? Malarkey.
How about Alarmy? This app refuses to turn off unless you take a picture of an item in your house or solve a math problem.
Please.
I can't solve a math problem when I'm awake.
How about the purple outfit planner? You digitize your closet. All you have to do is swipe to pick out what you want to wear. So you could turn it down or whatever. Well, you still have to get up and go grab it out of the closet. This is why my system, I should do an app, Dean, for my wardrobe. Shorts, golf shirt. Shorts, golf shirt.
Yeah.
Shorts, golf shirt.
Exactly.
That's where women, I would
I'm going to call it shorts, golf shirt.
That's where we spend a lot of time in the morning, picking out what to wear.
Or the night before. Yeah. That's what I do.
That is so much. Because I got to get like sort of presentable for TV.
Yeah.
In the morning, that literally is my least favorite.
What are you saying? I'm completely
morning.
Presentable. You've seen my calves. They're sexy as hell.
You do have nice gams.
So, all right, at 8:24, why is Justin Bieber on your report this morning?
Justin Bieber... I hope this is going to be one of these broadcasts.
Break it to us gently.
Play over and over again. Like, you'll remember where you were the moment you heard the news that Justin Bieber has deleted his Instagram account.
What?
I repeat our top story of the day.
This is how you tell us?
Justin Bieber has deleted his Instagram account. I can just see Walter Cronkite taking his glasses off right now.
Right.
If he were here to report this story.
Right.
There's been nothing but drama with Biebs on his Instagram account the last few days because he's been posting pictures of his new girlfriend, Sophia Richie.
This is a 17-year-old?
This is Lionel Richie.
Who obviously doesn't have parents.
Lionel Richie, 17-year-old. He's busy dancing on the ceiling.
Yeah.
He should be paying attention to his 17-year-old daughter. So, you know, Bieber fans, we believers... have been very upset by this, about this new
Does that include Helen Keller?
What?
Remember Helen Keller when he visited the Helen Keller?
Was it Helen Keller or Anne Frank?
Anne Frank.
Oh, it was Anne Frank, right. Anne Frank was a believer.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So we believers have been trashing her and him because we don't like this new, we don't
Ridiculous.
Like this. We don't like this. Even Selena Gomez, his ex-girlfriend / Dean's best friend, posted something. She posted on his Instagram account the other day, "If you can't handle the hate, stop posting pictures of your girlfriend, LOL. It should be something special between you two only."
Yeah. That's the same rules everybody on social media follows. The generation that takes pictures of their food, they keep everything to themselves. Stop sharing so much.
So
there's too much sharing.
So apparently Selena's post was all Bieber could take. As of this morning, the Instagram account is gone, Steve. It's gone.
And maybe never coming back.
Twitter and Facebook accounts of his still active. Thank goodness.
Thank God. Thank God we have that.
So I can keep up to date with what he's doing.
Larry Wilmore got fired.
Were you surprised about this?
No, not really. I mean, the show, he was a really good bit player on The Daily Show. He's not a good host. And for people who want to make it about, well, now there's no black late night host. Well, then get another black late night host.
Well, no, Trevor Noah's on right before him.
Trevor Noah's black?
Trevor Noah's from Africa, Steve.
Well, it doesn't mean he's black.
He's from South Africa.
Are you sure he's black?
I'm pretty sure he is.
We should run some tests.
Okay, we'll do that. But Comedy Central said that the show didn't really translate to their audience ratings-wise,
right.
nor on social media,
right?
Which is super important to all the networks. Now, Trevor Noah's total ratings compared to Jon Stewart's are down, but his ratings with younger people are up.
Is that right?
So that's why they say Trevor Noah is working. Larry Wilmore just hasn't been able to get anything going. Wilmore said that he's grateful to his fans and to Jon Stewart for him, Jon Stewart having him on as his member, senior black correspondent that he used to have.
He was really good.
And also thanked Comedy Central's final show is going to be on Thursday. A show that's on at midnight. It's at 11 o'clock here in Chicago. It's called At Midnight.
Is that moving up?
We'll move up a half an hour. So. Yeah. You can figure out
the What's the name of the host of At Midnight?
Chris Hardwick.
Yeah, he's been on the show 15 times. I probably should know his name. But he's good.
Yeah.
It's good. It's funny. And Larry Wilmore will be fine. Which of the earlier late night hosts are black? Is it Jimmy Fallon? Jimmy Kimmel? One of those guys is black.
I believe so.
Stephen Colbert. Stephen Colbert is black.
I believe Jimmy Fallon did a game with beer pong where it was proven that he was not black.
Well, then it's probably Colbert. Why is Robert Downey going to HBO? Does that mean he's getting HBO at his house? What does that mean?
I think that means he gets free HBO when you get a TV show. They give you free HBO. Hollywood Reporter says that he is in talks to star in a new drama for the network, and it could be a Perry Mason reboot. I like the idea of Robert Downey playing Perry Mason.
He was really good in The Judge. It wasn't a great movie, but he was good, and... Robert Duvall, who played his dad,
was
really good. The story, not perfect, but I thought the movie was pretty entertaining.
Those two guys together were
tremendous.
Amazing. Were absolutely amazing. No comment from HBO on this, but everybody's saying that's going
to
happen.
Superman's getting a new suit. Did he go to Men's Warehouse?
He did go to Men's Warehouse. Got the suit, the double-breasted, as you talked about.
Right. That's a good look.
Two pair of pants. That's the way that you do that old-school style.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram, Steve, we're back to Instagram. Superman actor Henry Cavill posted a picture yesterday, a swatch of what will apparently be his Superman costume that he'll use in the Justice League suit. Steve, it's all black.
Oh, so that's black.
It's all, the costume is black.
Well, that could host a late night show on Comedy Central.
This costume could host a show on Comedy Central.
Yeah.
Fans of Superman comic books, and I know you and I are.
Totally.
We've been in my mom's basement for many of our comic book
meetings. Meatloaf!
The black Superman costume was used as part of the storyline in the Death and Return of Superman.
Yeah, I knew that.
Comic books.
Yeah.
And that could signal what's going to be happening in Justice League, especially what happened at the end of Batman Superman.
I'm not a huge fan of Harry Cavill.
Henry,
yeah. Superman.
What about Harry? Do you like Harry Cavill?
No, I just, he doesn't convince me as Superman.
I don't know. I'm trying to care.
It doesn't bother me.
Doesn't bother me. I didn't like the original movie. Was it Superman? I think it was Superman steals 3 hours of Steve's life he'll never get back again.
You're talking post Christopher Reeve.
Are you talking Man of Steel?
Yeah,
Man of Steel. Is that what it was?
Or the Brandon Routh Superman or the current Henry Cavill?
I have no idea. Henry Cavill was in it. It was the first Superman movie with him in it.
That was Man of Steel.
Yeah. Well, thank God we cleared that up.
Doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me. But Superman was my favorite superhero growing up, so it can do no wrong as far as I'm concerned.
Mine was Mailman. He was a guy.
What?
It was Mailman.
I remember this, based on the comic book
series. We didn't have
series.
Cable, so I pretended the mailman was a superhero, and each day he'd bring mail.
Yeah.
Double door staying open. I thought it was closing.
They went to a court yesterday, and a judge ruled that they can stay in their spot at least until the end of the year. What they didn't do, what Double Door apparently did not do, was inform the owners of the building soon enough that they had intended on renewing their lease. Legal proceedings went on that they had to leave. They're trying to work things out right now. Double Door says either way, if they do close down that location at Milwaukee and Damon, they're not going to be leaving the city or going away. They're hoping that they can work something out with the owners so they
It'll always be special to me. That's where I had my first all-night rave.
That's right.
Yeah.
I had my bar mitzvah there.
And
interestingly, I'm not even Jewish. Any reason to throw a party?
And Dean also covered a couple of rock and roll anniversaries today. He'll tell you more about those on TV because we're out of time.
It's Madonna's 57th birthday. That's one of them.
58, isn't she?
58th birthday.
Yeah, 58.
And a 39th birthday of Elvis's passing. That's really all I have to say about the anniversary.
Good.
Right. Yeah. We had some hilarious video, but forget it. You're not going to be able to hear it now.
Yeah, or see it. Yeah. All right. Thanks, buddy.
Bye.
See you. One of the reasons I knew Madonna was 58 is because when she and I were together, I counted her rings.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Saying happy birthday to her? A couple of times?
Not more than twice.
The Steve Cochran Show.
You know that old saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Trickle-down economics does not help our economy grow. It does not help the vast majority of Americans, but it does really well for people already at the top. Well, we're going to turn that upside down. We're going to make the wealthy pay their fair share in taxes for a change.
8:46 now. We're talking about the money, your money, my money, our money. In regards to campaign 2016 earlier, let's bring it up again with Bill Beach, Mercatus Center Vice President for Policy Research on Hillary and Trump's economic plans, such that they are. Good morning, Bill.
Real pleasure to be on your program.
Nice to talk to you. All right, so pick one. Who do you want to start with, and how frightened will I be with what you tell me?
Well, you just ran a clip on Secretary Clinton. Why don't we start with the Clinton tax plan?
Okay, go.
So the Clinton tax plan is basically leaving everybody except those at the very top of the income distribution unchanged in terms of their taxes. So if you're looking for a big tax cut, say you're making $75,000, got two kids and so forth, live in Chicago, the Clinton plan doesn't do that. It does something else. It raises taxes significantly on the top part of the income distribution, the really rich. By the end of her plan, if Congress were to implement every single dot and tittle of that plan, the top 20% of the wealthiest people, the top 20% of all incomes, would pay 94% of all taxes.
But didn't we go through this with Romney in 12, where we ran the math, and yeah. you can tax to death the top income earners in the country. By the way, the people that own the businesses and employ most of Americans.
And they find ways of avoiding those taxes. I mean, this is.
But what I was going to say, sir, is this: you can tax them to death, and the total math from the accumulated revenue by the increase in taxes on the rich isn't going to solve our problems.
Well, yeah, we've got currently $19 trillion in debt, and we're looking at adding nearly $1 trillion in debt because of an insufficiency of revenue overspending. In about 3 years, we're back to $1 trillion deficit. So her plan over 10 years raises $1.1 trillion, which is needed. I mean, we need to raise the essential money for government, and so that's one of my criteria of a good tax plan. But the problem here with the Clinton tax plan is that it loads so much of the taxes on the very wealthiest people. And why is that a problem? It's because those people have the means to go out and buy high-priced accountants and lawyers to try to reduce their tax bill. Well, what does that do in Washington? That increases the number of lobbyists and increases the number of people who go in and beg for relief. Well, that's a real problem for a democracy.
Because the problem is, again, it comes down to what I've been complaining about for years. The problem is not rich people. The problem is the tax code. The code.
Yeah. I think that's absolutely right. She doesn't do a lot for economic growth, though let me tell you, she does reauthorize a program called Build America Bonds. I do a program on Build America Bonds. It's been the source of some very interesting stories about who scratches whose back. So this is a problematical tax plan. I want to say, though, that Mr. Trump's plan.
Hold that thought. We've got to get traffic in here.
Okay.
Yeah, hold that thought. I want you to do this. We're going to come back, and we're going to see if my head will completely explode. 50% of it's already gone because of Hillary's plan. Let's see if we can finish off the rest with Trump's plan next with Bill Beach, Mercatus Center Vice President for Policy Research. You know, this is like, Mary, this is like, you ever play that game, you must pick one?
Yeah.
You know, where you get two awful choices, but you got to pick one?
Yeah. It's
like a game of FMK, but you're missing a person.
I am proposing an across-the-board income tax reduction, especially for middle-income Americans. This will lead to millions of new and really good-paying jobs. The rich will pay their fair share, but no one will pay so much that it destroys jobs or undermines our ability as a nation to compete.
.855, Bill Beach is the Mercatus Center Vice President for Policy Research. And, Bill, if we want to stay in touch with what you're talking about, thinking about, writing about, where do we do that?
Mercatus.org. It's on the web.
Mercatus. All right. Is the Trump plan any better than Hillary's plan?
Yeah, at the margin. Pretty much everybody gets a tax cut. He increases the number of households who will pay no income tax. I'm not sure I like this, but from 77 million to 110 million. And the top 20% who paid 94% of all taxes under the Clinton plan pay 67% of all taxes under the Trump plan. So there's a difference, but I guess it's a difference in distinction there. The thing I kind of like about the Trump plan is he drops the income tax rate so dramatically. And, yeah, I think there is economic growth in this. What I don't like about the Trump plan is he has no spending cuts to go along with it. And hang on, the $9.5 trillion in lower revenues over the next 10 years.
So where's that going to come from?
Yeah, right. And we're already looking at adding $9 trillion in additional debt, even without any tax changes, so that by 10 years from now, we have $28 trillion in debt as opposed to 19 now. And the Trump plan adds another $10 trillion in lower revenues. Now, if there's lower spending, there's no problem, right? But he hasn't.
But he's already said he's not going to touch entitlements, which is the biggest expenditure.
Well, it is, along with defense. So you've got that. He repeals estate and gift taxes. A lot of folks will like that. They're so-called death taxes. Mrs. Clinton increases the tax rates under that. And he does a lot of things that I think need to be done. They're pretty technical, but they're good steps towards a better tax plan. So on the tax reform battle, Trump versus Clinton, I think he wins tax reform notes. He loses on the fiscal responsibility side, because she's raising revenues, he's cutting about $10 trillion. So I don't think either plan makes it to the goal line. Both are, however, very, very reflective of their parties. You know, Clinton has a highly progressive plan. Trump has a pro-growth plan. That's Democrat versus Republican. At least they're true to their roots.
Yeah, and that means maybe that they get elected, but it doesn't mean it solves their problems, and in some ways it could make them worse. Trump has been addicted to debt for years. Yeah. He has run his companies based on debt. He is the king of debt. So he said he loves debt. So so how is that helpful?
Well, that's a problem. I'd like to just have one more little factoid for everybody.
Yeah, go ahead.
Listening to remember. Of the six last presidents that we've elected, five of them have enacted major tax reforms in the first year of their first term. So we've got a very good chance of having tax reform pass next year, regardless of whether it's Mrs. Clinton or Mr. Trump. So this is a pretty important debate on taxes. People should pay attention. We may not get this chance again for another, you know, 8 right. or 10 years. And these are dramatically different tax plans. Neither will be enacted as they now stand. But if Clinton is elected, you'll see a more progressive tax reform plan. If Trump is elected, you'll see one with tax cuts and pro-growth elements. I think that's the bottom line.
Thank you for the time, and I appreciate it. I know we kept you longer than we said, Bill, but I appreciate your time. At the Mercatus Center, the Vice President for Policy Research, Mercatus.org. Check that out.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
Hour number four of the program. We continue, and you texters, you're welcome to give some advice to Sandberg, newly married Sandberg. And by the way, we're going to continue to call her Sandberg. I thought MB would be good because it's, you know, it's Mary Boyle.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of changing her name now, as soon as I started, it's not going to work.
Nah, you know, just keep Sandberg.
Sandberg.
The listeners know her as Sandberg. We know her as Sandberg.
Right. Yeah. Right. So it is Sandberg. And that way, if things don't work out with Pat, it's an easier transition for her. You can slide right back into it.
I wouldn't say that, necessarily.
Well, they've been married for 4 days. You know, anything's possible. Is it four?
It's 4 days, yeah.
Yeah, congratulations.
Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Yeah, 4 days.
Saw some lovely wedding pictures. Looked like they had a fabulous time.
Beautiful wedding, beautiful dress.
And again, saw pictures because I wasn't invited to the wedding.
That's okay. It was a private affair.
Yes, it was. Apparently quite private. Mm-hmm. Yes. Apparently more private than most. How many of you on this show love your Starbucks?
Oh, me.
Me.
How'd you like to be one of seven people given free Starbucks for the rest of your life?
Me.
Me.
Starbucks gives 7 customers free drinks for life. Starbucks says the rewards members, you guys in that rewards program?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I got a bunch of stars.
Me too.
What's your password for your account?
I can't tell you that, Steve. You can guess it.
Okay. Starbucks explains rewards members 18 and older can earn a chance to play a game. What's the game? Oh, it's the Starbucks for Life sweepstakes. Just by hitting up a Starbucks, if you spend over $10, you get a bonus play. Eventually, somebody's going to be chosen, 7 people total, to get free Starbucks for life. How much do you spend on Starbucks in a week?
I figured it out. It's at least $10 a week, at least. But sometimes between 10 and 15 is what I spend.
Spend less since, like, Kevin left the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Because I would buy once a week.
We would buy.
Who are you two kidding? I spent most of the money.
No.
3 days a week. No, please.
No, I would say, trust me. I think
3 days a week, I was buying literally a $20 bottle of water.
Then you should have a rewards card,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, you should have a rewards card. You get stars. That's
exactly right.
Nobody's ever bought me any coffee.
Well, you haven't bought us coffee. Mm-hmm. We all take turns.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. I see you running across Michigan Avenue at 6 a.m. every day. You're not volunteering to go for anybody.
Nobody ever bought me any, so.
Think of the money you guys could save if you quit the coffee.
No, I can't.
No.
It's an addiction. I actually was thinking
Steve, maybe
about
it's your
today.
Next job people will buy you coffee. Think about
maybe,
that.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. Because at the last job, they bought me coffee. Every once
yeah, how'd that work out for you?
Just not very well.
Yeah, okay. At 9:13, what is bomb coffee?
I don't know what bomb coffee
is.
Well,
let's find out. Robert Principato is on the phone right now. Is it Principato, sir? Am I pronouncing that right?
You are. You are. Thanks for having us on, Steve.
Yeah, how are you?
Doing great. Doing great. Early morning here.
Yeah. And explain where here is.
We're right outside of Chicago in Rockford, Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's not that early, really. It's not like a different time zone, Robert.
Well, no. No, not too early.
Bomb Coffee has been slammed with orders since it was launched. It's at bombcoffee.com, bombcoffee.com. Explain the concept and where this all came from.
Okay. We're just a band of brothers with a huge passion for great taste and strong coffee. So we kind of put our heads together to come up with Bomb Coffee. Bomb Coffee, we call it a specialty coffee. It's a highly explosive, super caffeinated. It has bold and intense flavor that's never bitter. We're veteran-owned and operated.
That's where I was going. I wanted to set you up so you tell folks that. Veteran-owned and operated is the key piece of this story to me because you're also making incredibly great-tasting coffee. And we were just talking about that Starbucks deal. I would assume that I can get Bomb Coffee for less money, and I'm supporting a veteran-owned company.
Yeah, you can, Steve. You can, definitely. We've just had such a great reception since launch. The coffee itself is just amazing. You know, we really put in the process and the technique of building the coffee out. So a lot of love goes into the roasting. Took us a few years to kind of get it just right. But, you know, that's the part of the bomb coffee we love. It's extremely smooth and, you know, we get the highest caffeine levels possible. And I think that's important.
I think a nice, rich, strong taste is important to a coffee. Would you compare it maybe to like an Intelligentsia, a Starbucks, Robert? What would you kind of maybe where would we lean toward on taste?
You know, a lot of most commonly used bean out there is the Arabica bean. And the thing that we do that a lot of other coffee companies aren't doing is, it's a process. It's a hand-selected process. That also took us a little while to put that together. But we actually use 100% Robusta beans, which is known to have 2 times more caffeine than what's on the market. So you're going to get...
What kind of beans? Arusta?
Robusta.
Robusta. And where do you get the Robusta beans? Are they special beans?
They are. They're sourced, overseas. We have a couple of places that we go, and you know, we really have down to the farming techniques. You know, down, it took a while to get that part right, working with the right places to kind of really get the beans that we're looking for. That's really part of the process, though. You know, we wanted to make sure we have the super highest quality Robusta bean out there. That's how we get our coffee so smooth.
The Robusta, are they the greenish color bean too? There's a greenish color Robusta.
Yes, ma'am. There are a few different kinds of Robusta. There is for sure the green ones. Yes, ma'am.
How'd you come to learn about coffee?
You know, I think just being in my military service, I became a coffee lover instantly. I think working on aircraft for, you know, 17 years, you have to have something strong to go out there and work 12, 14-hour days. Coffee just became, you know, an addiction. You had to have something to really get you through the day. I'm not a really big on energy drinks. It's always been coffee for me. So it's been years of just doing that. And that's really where the love came from. You know, I really enjoy a great cup of coffee and going out there and trying to find what that is.
And when you say you max out the caffeine, what's it compared to?
You know, it's being, because we use Robusta, the 2x caffeine content is what we like to say, because it really is down to the bean. You know, it's probably, most of my reviews, and this is not coming from me, it's from a lot of the reviews and customers that we've had, you know, they're stronger than a lot of energy drinks out there. So one cup of coffee is probably like 2 or 3 cups of coffee.
All right. It's bombcoffee.com. Through the month of August, you buy one, you get one free. Is this at all retail outlets? We order online. What's the best way to get it?
Right now, we're currently available online for purchase only. We are in talks with a few retailers, hopefully to be at a store near you. But yes, sir, we are doing the August BOGO, first month of operation, to say thanks for the awesome reception that we've had. So we definitely appreciate everybody and the love for coffee.
And we thank you for your service. Where and when did you serve?
Actually, Air Force. I retired from the Air Force. I came in 1997. I was an aircraft electrician. I've been to just a few places. I was stationed in New Mexico. I've been to Utah, Korea. I've been deployed quite a few times. And then I ended up in, you know, kind of retiring out in Arizona and then getting together with my business partners in Chicago. So it's been a long journey. It's been an awesome one, though.
Well, good for you, and God bless you, and thanks for your service to your partners as well. It's bombcoffee.com, veteran-owned, which, you know, means a lot to me, which is why we wanted to make sure we promoted this. It doesn't sound like you need a whole lot of help, but, you know, people might be a little nervous, Robert. You answer the phone, you go, it's a little early out here. Have you not had Bomb Coffee this morning? What, have I got to go pour you some?
That'd be awesome, Steve. We need to meet up so we can have some Bomb Coffee.
Again, bombcoffee.com. All the best and good luck with the biz. And we're back after this on 720 WGN. Back live in the world's greatest office on Michigan Avenue, show number 714, Allstate Showcase Studio, home of the Steve Cochran Show, till 10. Then it's Bill and Wendy. At noon, Steve Bertrand's back. Nice to have Bertrand back.
Yeah, it is. He looks great.
He had elective surgery. I believe he had breast implants, didn't he?
No.
I believe he's a full B now. I
don't think he had breast surgery.
He actually had some very significant surgery and kept it kind of quiet.
He did, and he's doing very well. Yeah. He looks good.
He looks great.
Feels good, I think.
Yeah, he's still, you know, rehabbing, but he's going to be fine. If you want to know the specifics of his surgery, because you listen to this station, people have no aversion to asking deeply personal questions. Steve will be on between noon and 1, call and ask exactly what happened and what the procedure was and why you weren't asked to be there.
I thought you were going to say call.
Because the listeners are invested. Right. Bill and Wendy back 1 to 3, and then Ro and Anna from 3 till, are they still until 7? Yeah. 3 till 7, and then the download with Justin Kaufman and Patty at 11, Patty Vasquez, and Nick D at 2, and then we're back here at 6. That's the way it works. Check your local listings at WGNRadio.com and get all the podcasts there as well. Speaking of the fine, Tribune Media Company, Senior Vice President for Corporate Relations for Tribune Media, Gary Weitzman is here. And Gary, if I can find the right microphone here, nice to see you. How are you?
I'm good.
Turn that microphone right in front of your face, if you would. You know, Gary Weitzman is a very busy guy. He doesn't just come around because he's saying hi. You know, he can do that in the window outside. So last time you were
and
here.
Usually you make me do that.
Yes, I do. And last time you were here, we were talking about the Dish Network spat with Tribune Media,
right,
which were keeping Cubs games in part, not just as well as the other program,
right,
off of WGN TV. So as we get towards the playoffs and we get towards football season, we thought it'd be a good idea to talk to you about an update. What do we know?
Well, unfortunately, we're in the same spot we were in the last time I was here. We're still off of Dish Network. That means 42 stations around the country, 33 markets. In particular, here in Chicago, it means WGN TV, of course. That means Cub games. That means this afternoon's Cubs game is lost to Dish subscribers. They won't get the game against Milwaukee this afternoon, and they won't get some 10 other Cub games that are on WGN for the rest of the season as the team moves, you know, toward hopefully the playoffs and the World Series.
Right. And as a Dish Network subscriber, you pay your money every, you know, month, and or, you know, you pay it up front, whatever. You're expecting the product to be delivered. So without getting too deep in the weeds, is the sticking point as basic as this is how much we want you to pay per viewer and this is how much we're willing to pay?
It's along those lines. I would say what is interesting here, and when you say when you're a Dish subscriber, you expect to get what you pay for. I actually think when you're a Dish subscriber these days, you expect to get blacked out on a regular basis, because Dish has done this 18 to 20 times in the last
It seems to be almost years. A business model.
It is a business model for them. I think it has become a business model for them. They take networks and cable networks and station groups off the air, and they put their customers in the middle. And look, during the same 3-year period, we've reached agreements with all of our other cable satellite telco operators, AT&T, DirecTV, Comcast, Cablevision. We have agreements with all of them. We're not asking Dish for anything that's outside the bounds of what we believe they pay others and what we get from the deals that we cut.
The competitive
others.
Price. Yeah. Have they responded to Tribune offers?
Because last time
you were here, they weren't even responding
right,
to the offer.
We talk to them. We push paper back and forth. They move incrementally. They drag their feet. They're slow to respond. It's a very arduous process, and they drag this out and keep people in the middle as a result.
Well, if we use the Cubs as an example, because it's probably the most, you know, easy example to pull.
Sure.
Is there a way to quantify how many people are leaving Dish over this?
Well, Dish, in the second quarter, reported publicly that they had lost a record number of subscribers for them. More than 280,000 subscribers left the Dish network in the second quarter. Yeah, it is a lot of money. And look, we've worked with Dish for a long time. They're a longtime partner and provider for us. We have had in the past a pretty good relationship, but this is not going well, and we regret the fact that people wind up in the middle.
Are there any new talks scheduled?
Not so much that anything. It's not we'll all agree to meet in a room and next Tuesday we'll get together. It's a continuous process of pushing paper back and forth.
But there's nuances here, right? Because the per subscriber rate that's paid, and again, without getting too deep in the weeds, there are other things that could be thrown in here or there, but the Tribune Media Company has a point where you go, we can't do it at that number.
That's right.
And we're just not going to do it at that number.
And what we think is a reasonable agreement is simply the same type of agreement that we've reached with everybody else. It's not as though we've gone dark with anybody else. And this is the only provider that we've had this problem with. And we're not, as I said before when I was here, we're not looking to set the market with new rates. We're looking for something that's fair and that's reasonable. But there is a point at which we can't do a deal, and we're not going to do a deal that is not similar to what we've done elsewhere, because it's not fair to our other providers.
What do you recommend for people? I mean, people, it's easy to pick up the phone and call the Cubs and yell at the Cubs, and the Cubs will say, call Dish Network.
Yeah,
that doesn't change your world. You can call WGN TV. That's not going to change your world either.
What
do people do?
Well, at this stage, what we're really concerned about is our viewers. And we understand the frustration, and we're completely empathetic with them. So what we're asking people to do is to consider changing their provider. Consider DirecTV. Consider Comcast, Mediacom, Wow, RCN. If you go to the WGN TV website, there's a green banner at the top of the page. You click on that banner. We've provided phone numbers for other providers and more information about what you can do.
Well, that's pretty ugly. I mean, to get to this point where you're saying, look, Dish, we're not working with Dish. Dish isn't working with us. Here are your other options. I understand why to say that, but that doesn't sound optimistic that there's any hope for Dish then.
Well, I we're hopeful that eventually we get to an agreement. But right now, honestly, it's about trying to help people, help our viewers find the programming that they want to see.
I've never had satellite TV. Is it a pain to change?
It shouldn't be as difficult as it sometimes is. I think that what we try to do for people is speed up the process, get them to the right outlets, because we're coming up also, especially on WGN, we're coming up on the Blackhawks season too, and the Bulls season. And, you know, those are that's critical programming for people, not to mention the WGN morning show, the newscasts. I mean, there's a lot going on there, and we want to make sure that people have access to it.
You know, the guys on the morning show in particular, but the guys all day are friends of mine. What if I make a call and they have Potash and Sapel, so get in a car, come out and switch it to another provider? I mean, I don't know that they know what they're doing, but that seems like the personal touch that we're willing to provide.
We'll send a technician along with
it.
No, we're serious. We want to help people make a switch as easily as they possibly can. And
why wouldn't you at this point? I mean, how long has it been?
It's been since June 12th.
Yeah.
It's been since June 12th.
Can I tell
you
a story?
So people, not just here in Chicago, people around the country, at our ABC affiliates, they lost access to really important programming like the NBA playoffs, which were pretty spectacular this year. At NBC, our NBC affiliates, they lost access to the Stanley Cup playoffs.
This is happening around the country. Tribune Media, I think, is still the largest TV company in the country, right?
Yep. We reach 50 million homes.
So this happened all over. You don't have your headphones on, but Mary was just saying, you had a story about this?
Well, yeah. I mean, I was just at my mom's senior living facility the other day, and they all yell at me about it because I work at WGN. Can't you do something? I mean, these are people in their 90s that want to see the Cubs win.
Yeah, TV is a big part of their day.
And they're furious. I go, you have to talk to the living, you know, to Brookdale where they live and tell them you want to switch.
Right.
And do it quick because, you know, I mean, they haven't seen the Cubs win since.
That actually might be a nice thing for people to do for your parents.
Yes.
Or your aunts, your uncles, or whatever. You know,
well,
go,
Dish,
switch them.
I
go,
listen,
I'll switch off Dish because they might be too overwhelmed by the technical
side.
Well,
and DirecTV is running some very attractive offers right now, recognizing the situation with Dish. And if you're a Dish subscriber and you're trying to change, they will get out to you quickly, and they will also get you some very attractive rates and some very attractive packages because they, obviously, they want to convert as many subscribers
as they
can.
It's a perfect time.
Sure.
Take advantage of the moment
Absolutely.
As well. WGN TV is the best place to go for the banner that leads you to the direction of switching providers.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, Gary. Nice to see you.
Great
and I'll
to
talk
here.
To Sapelsa and Potash and not Conrad because you don't want Conrad in your house.
Skilling.
But Sapelsa.
How about Skilling? I hear you talk to Skilling.
For crying out loud, I'd be happy to do it. we'll work with you. We'll work
right,
with
great.
You get it out. But Gary, good to see you.
Thank you.
Keep up the faith. Whatever that means now. It's 9:31, big story next, 720 WGN.
So let me redeem all myself tonight. Cause I just need one more shot, second chance. Yeah. Is it too late now to say sorry? Cause I'm missing more than just your body.
Oh, I was recorded live here in studio when Justin Bieber was in. You guys remember when Bieber was in?
Must have been off that day.
Yeah, that was great.
Remember how many people confused Bieber for you, Dave?
Well, there were a couple, but it's hard
happens
to see
all
in
the
here
time.
Sometimes.
I want to say hi to some special guests in studio. You know, it's the end of summer, and before kids go back to school, the tradition is, and I know it's the same at your house, you go to the radio station.
Of course.
And you hang out on the number one show in town. So, Catherine's here with her buddies. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Tell everybody who your dad is.
Pat Foyle.
And tell everybody who your new official stepmom is.
Mary Sandberg.
Right. By the way, do you think we should still call her Sandberg?
Yes.
Because it would be weird if I just called her Boyle, don't you think?
Maybe.
Because she's a girl, you know what I mean? I mean, I know it's your name and stuff, but if I just go, Boyle! Don't you think that's kind of weird?
I can call Boyle sometimes.
People call you Boyle?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, maybe I'll reconsider. You want to introduce your friends?
Yes.
Who do you have with you?
Blair Hendricks.
Hi, Blair.
Rosenberg.
Hi.
Lily and...
Cassidy Healy.
Hi.
Let's get this out of the way right away. You guys want to say hi to any boys who might be listening?
Hi.
Boys. Hi, boys.
Hi, boys. Hello, boys. Which boys in particular? Anybody in particular?
Mm-mm.
Any you guys married?
Nope.
No.
No? Not so much? Okay. Tell me, in particular, Catherine, how was the wedding?
Good.
Was it fun?
Yes.
What was your favorite part?
Mary surprised my dad.
Yeah, pulled it off, didn't she?
Uh-huh.
Listen, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Listen, you and I are pals, right?
Uh-huh.
So you can tell me this. Are you as afraid of Mary as I am?
No.
No, Mary's nice. Mary shows her sweet side.
So Mary's nice at home?
Yes.
Yeah, because, you know, she's mean to me at work.
She's not that mean to you, Steve.
I would never make stuff up. You know that about me.
Me too.
Yeah, and Jake too. Blair, how's your summer?
Good.
What are you doing? What have you done for fun?
Hanging out with my friends and going to Michigan.
And going to Michigan?
Yeah.
Just randomly just go to Michigan?
No, just like for my friend's birthday.
Once in a while?
Yeah.
How about you, Lily, Cassidy, sharing a microphone? What are you guys doing for fun?
Nothing really.
No, nothing?
No.
Okay.
I've been going to like Lake Geneva since my family has a lake house there.
Uh-huh.
And mostly hanging out with friends, too.
All right, so you've had a good summer.
You guys watching the Olympics at all?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty cool, huh? Mm-hmm. What's your favorite event?
Gymnastics.
Yeah.
Swimming.
Yeah, swimming or gymnastics.
Mm-hmm. Swimming or gymnastics. Yeah.
Are you guys excited about the new Blackhawks season?
Yeah.
Who's your favorite player?
Patrick Kane.
Jonathan Tays.
Taves? Who
yeah,
said
I
Kane?
I like Taves.
Me.
I like Kane. I
love Taves, Kane.
Yeah, Taves and Kane are my favorite.
Duncan Keith?
Yeah.
These guys seem old for you. What about some of the younger guys?
Which ones are younger? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Age.
Artemi Panarin?
Oh, yeah, I like him. Oh,
Panarin's
like him.
Good.
Blair's in. Blair's all in on Panarin.
Count me in.
Panarin. Yeah, I want Panarin.
Brett,
yeah. Yeah. Well, it's nice to meet you guys. Is there anything you can tell us about Mary Sandberg that we don't know? Mary Sandberg Boyle now?
She makes delicious cookies.
Yes, she does make good cookies.
Yes, she does. You're a very loyal young lady, and I respect that. But at some point, I'll get the truth out of you. So, it's Catherine, Blair, Lily, and Cassidy. Thank you guys for coming in. You want to say hi to
Thank
anybody?
Thank you.
Nobody?
No.
Really? Nobody at all?
Who's on?
Well, there's us. You've met us. But anybody listening?
Mom and dad.
Your mom, your dad. How about your dad? Why don't you guys say hi to your dads, right?
Hey, Dad.
Patrick.
Hi, Dad.
Hi, Dad, and hi to Patrick Kane. All right, Blair, settle down. All right, Catherine, nice to meet you and your friends.
Thank you.
You guys have fun. What are you doing today?
Going to Dylan's.
Yeah.
Going to
the candy bar place next door.
Yeah. Walgreens.
Yeah.
Dave, would you give these guys $100 at each so they could go buy a candy bar?
Yeah, no problem. I have to run upstairs, though.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Because
that'd be
that's fantastic. Where I keep my money.
Yeah, and you're excited about going to Walgreens?
Yeah.
And it comes David.
Who wouldn't be?
They're big into these lip balms called Revos, and so they call ahead. Like when we went to Florida for spring break, Catherine and her friends had called ahead to the Walgreens in that area in Florida to see if they carried Revos.
Well, are they flavored, or what's the special about?
They're flavored. I don't really know.
Well, why do you like them so much?
They're flavored.
Okay.
And they trade them and sell them online.
Yeah,
Catherine,
you can make $100 for one.
I just won.
What? They sell them to the kids in Canada.
What kind of crazy illegal black market operation are you guys running?
I know, it's crazy. I would have never bought that for $100, but people do.
How about that?
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, it's good.
Yeah. Dave, good, you want to start a side business?
Jeez. Yeah, lip balm.
It's totally different than the makeup you're using.
Not by much.
Yeah, but not by much. All right, girls, nice to see you.
Thank you.
It's 9:49. Bill and Wendy coming up, 720 WGN. Donald Trump did his ISIS speech yesterday. It's a little more detailed than that. But I defended Donald Trump earlier. Yes, I did. I defended Donald Trump earlier because as a candidate, there's only so many things you can say because you have limited knowledge of what you can do. And Congress, of course, plays a big role in what you can get accomplished. Even the powers of the presidency. What Trump did say yesterday was vague. Some of it was over the top. His notion of extreme vetting is certainly going to run into problems. And we already have a very serious system of vetting people who come into this country. Stop giggling. It's true. If you do your homework and look it up, you'll find comparatively it is tough compared to other countries. He also said to keep Guantanamo Bay open and turn it into an amusement park. Who wants to come to Guantanamo? No, you keep Guantanamo Bay open, which, by the way, I'm not against. I mean, I know we spent a lot of money there, but the idea that if we close Guantanamo Bay, those that hate us on the other side of the world are suddenly going to start liking us? Come on.
No, I agree.
It's not going to work that way.
I can see both sides of that.
Later in the day, Joe Biden and Vice President Biden and Hillary Clinton were on a campaign trail together, and Biden called out Trump, says he's totally, completely unqualified to be president of the United States. But I agree. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't knock Trump yesterday on his speech, because even though it was vague and downbeat and he was reading the prompter, and sure, I was a little disappointed that he didn't come off the prompter and say something nutty, I don't think you could expect all that much yesterday. So I think the bar for Trump's speech yesterday was maybe a little higher than it was fair to say it should have been.
And he did address a couple of issues. You know, he did say what he would do. In part.
Yeah, just kind of vague. I think the bigger news out of yesterday was that Trump supporter and former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani apparently hit his head.
He had a brain freeze.
He bumped his head because he actually said this.
Remember, we didn't start this war. They did. We don't want this war. They do. Under those 8 years, before Obama came along, we didn't have any successful radical Islamic terrorist attack in the United States. They all started when Clinton and Obama got into office.
What?
If you're wondering the origins of WTF, it's that speech. Rudy Giuliani was the mayor of New York City on 9/11.
In 2001.
He was a hero for how he handled it. And for the rebuilding of the city. President Bush had been in office less than a year at that point. Barack Obama was not a state rep at that point. Hillary Clinton was a senator from New York at that point. What?
Before Obama came along, we didn't have any successful radical Islamic terrorist attack in the United States.
Time to up your meds, Mr. Mayor. 9:56, back after this on 720 WGN.